great they were. But we never really dwelt on that. And when we put them to this place, you know, to rest, that the person that he took us to, you know, the will never help, you know. He trusted that the Samaritan would do what he said. He would behave whatever he had to
do. Right. He did, yes. Somehow, they're trusting each other, that's correct. Very good. And Samaritan gave us an example of a godly person, somebody who does the right thing, and the other two didn't. And the two that you thought you would think would have done something did nothing. And the one who we thought wouldn't have done anything because of the hatred between the Samaritans and the Jews, he did it all. Quite a story. And our Lord had that attitude. That he was out there helping and doing everything he could to help people all the time. Perhaps it would increase our appreciation of the blessedness of giving if we stop and think about gifts we receive from God and Jesus. From the scriptures below, tell what they give and how and or have given to us. So 1 Corinthians 1:4 says, what's the word there? Comfort, comfort. 1 John 5:20. You got a word there that giveth. Understanding. Matthew 6:11, daily bread. Physical and spiritual nourishment, both. Matthew 11:28-29, I will give you rest. Philippians 4:7, peace of mind, peace of mind. 1 Peter 1:9, salvation. When it's right at the top of the list, and it should be. And Hebrews 6:19, hope, hope. So the Christian can look forward to comfort, understanding, daily bread, rest, peace of mind, salvation, hope. That pretty much covers everything, doesn't it? When you think about it, some of those expand to different dimensions. From the scriptures that follow, list some things that we should give to God. Now this is going, we're going the other way now, not God to us, us to God. Romans 4:20, glory. Ephesians 5:20. Thanks. Acts 6:4, prayer. And Romans 15:11, praise. Good, good. So it's, as we say, a two-way street. Things are flowing back and forth all the time between us and God. Nature itself teaches a lesson on giving. The sun, the moon, the stars and give light. The clouds give rain. They also shield you from the sun. The lakes, rivers, and seas give us food. The orchards give us fruits. Trees give us lumber. Each spring, nature comes alive again. And just night, last week or so, you're starting to see the trees that bear leaves blooming. Coming, the leaves are coming back already. It starts again and starts anew with its multitude of gifts. The God of the universe gives all these things. But the greatest gift of all is the Son, who said, it is more blessed to give than receive. Okay, that's lesson 12. And we go on to 13, lesson 13, page 65. We ought to consider things both small and great. Some people seem to look for the thing, little things in life, while others try to ignore the little things and see only the big ones. But concepts are extremes, and extremes are more likely to be wrong than right. Jesus talked about some people who fit this picture in his strong denunciation of the scribes and Pharisees. He did that several times, many times. For ye tithe of anise and cumin, and have omitted the weightier matters of the law. You got it right. Judgment, mercy, and faith. Those are the weightier, those are the things you ought to be concerned about doing. These ought you to have done, and not to leave the other. You don't do the simple stuff and forget about the more complex stuff. We must consider both, for both are important and necessary. First, we shall consider some little things. Mint, anise, and cumin are spices. That's what we can call them, spices. So something you might grow in your little garden, little corner of the garden, to help you in flavoring your meat when you cook and stuff like that. That's what those are. So they don't amount to much, don't cost that much. And he's saying, people are really worried about that. Concerned more so than they are about saving souls, about judgment, mercy, faith. Jesus said, you got to be concerned about the big stuff. Certainly a lot more than you are the little stuff. Some things come to consider. Some little things to consider. A cup of cold water. Matthew 10:42 are the words of Jesus. Whosoever shall give to drink unto one of these little ones a cup of water, he's talking about people who are young in the faith. Little ones. A cup of cold water. Somebody who's new to the faith, maybe somebody's teaching them about the new Christianity, only in the name of a disciple. Verily I say unto you, he shall no wise lose his reward. Let us not forget that little things in our sight might be great things in God's sight. It was a simple little thing, for example, for like Naaman was told to do, which was dipped 7 times in the Jordan, 2 Kings 5. We talked about that a few weeks ago. But he was looking for greater things, like having the prophet come out to him, remember? He said, but I thought some prophet would come out from wherever he's hiding right now and strike me on his hand, strike his hand over me, some physical sign that he's transferring something to him, over the leprous area. And when he did that, he's thinking in his own mind, I'd be cured. He'd go away. And call upon his God. Let us not stumble over some little command by regarding it as too unimportant to be bothered with. He had another complaint too. He said, first of all, the right person didn't come out. He didn't do the right things. In his mind, what he had made, he already had this thing scripted. Then he came to the water. What did he say about the Jordan? It's dirty. Let me go back home and dip one of the rivers back home, and it's cleaner. I'd be happy to do that. Little thing. Do what he says, not what you think he should say. Oil in our lamps. The parable of the 10 virgins in Matthew 25 shows the difference between being wise and being foolish. The foolish virgins neglected the proper care of their lamps by not taking enough oil. That little bit of neglect became a big factor that determined their destiny. For in due time, the door was shut, verse 10, and the opportunity to be with the bridegroom was lost. This is one, I don't think we've read this one in quite a while. So let's go there now and read that story about the 10 virgins. So it's Matthew 25. Verses 1 through 13. Yep. This is one of the many parables that Jesus taught. And then spoke Jesus to the multitude and to his disciples. All therefore whatsoever thy bid you observe, that observe can do, but do not you after their work. Just let me double check. Okay, we're fine. For they say and do not. He's talking about these Pharisees, Sadducees, and scribes, people who have these issues. For they bind heavy burdens and grievous to be borne, and lay them on men's shoulders, and they themselves will not move them with one of their fingers. These men of authority are telling people to do things that they wouldn't do themselves. That's not the example that Christ gives us. But all their works they do for to be seen of who? Men. They're just showing off. That's what they're trying to do, show off, get attention. They make broad their phylacteries. Those are little pouches they wore around their wrist or maybe around their ankles, or leather pouches that had scripture written in them, handwritten, and enlarge the borders of their garments. The bigger the garment, the bigger the border, the more flashy the garment was. And love the uppermost rooms at feast, the best room, the best seats, and the chief seats in the synagogue. And greetings in the markets, and to be called men of men, rabbi, rabbi, teacher, teacher. Now that's the way they act. He's just describing the way they act. I don't think there was anybody there who could argue that he wasn't right. That's the way they acted. Verse 8. And be not you called rabbi. Don't even call yourself a rabbi. Once, especially twice. For one is your master, even Christ, and all your brethren. And call no man your father upon the earth, for one is your father which is in heaven. Is the first part of that verse clear to you? Call no man upon the earth father. Religiously, we're talking, with a religious title of father. He says, don't do it, right? Jesus Christ himself said that. And yet we have some denominations out there, their head guy is who? Father. They call him father. You have a scripture here that tells you that's wrong. They haven't figured that out. And that's not the only thing they haven't figured out. That's one that should be simple. Neither be you called masters. For one is your master, even Christ. You guys aren't considered to be masters in God's eyes. But he that is grieved greatest among you shall be your servant. Okay. I figured out what I did wrong. Sorry. But those were good scriptures, good lesson. We've talked about it in here before, and we'll talk about it again. Sorry about that. Chapter 25. I was in the wrong one. Yeah. I got the right one this time. With me? Okay. Then shall the kingdom of heaven be likened to 10 virgins, which took their lamps and went forth to meet the bridegroom. 5 of them were wise and 5 were foolish. Why? He's going to tell us. They that were foolish took their lamps, but they took no extra oil with them. No oil with them. So they had what? They had oil in the lamp, but they didn't take any extra, and evidently they didn't have it full either, because they're going to run out. But the wise took oil in their vessels with their lamps. So the wise took their lamps with oil in it, and they also had another jar or whatever they used to hold more oil. And while the bridegroom tarried, they all slumbered and slept. They all went to sleep. All 10 of them. And at midnight there was a cry made, behold, the bridegroom comes. Go you out to meet him. Get up, wake up. Go meet the bridegroom. Verse 7, then all those virgins rose and trimmed their lamps. They got their lamps ready to shine and give them the light. And the foolish said to the wise, give us your oil, for our lamps are going out. Hey, our lamps are going to go out. Can you give us some oil? They got the right answer. There was their laziness. They should have thought about that before this happened. But the wise answered, saying, not so, lest there be not enough for us and you. And go you rather to them that sell and buy for yourself. Go out and find the guys that sell the oil and buy some more. So, verse 10. And while they went to buy, the bridegroom came. And they that were ready went in with him and to the marriage or the marriage feast, and the door was shut. Afterward they came also the other virgins, the other five, who ran out of oil, saying, Lord, Lord, open up to us. Open the door. But he answered and said, Verily, verily, I say unto you, I know you not. They knew that the door was going to shut sometime. Maybe they didn't know exactly when, but they knew it was going to be shut. And once that's shut, no admittance. And sometimes the only place I can think of where that happens today that I know of is plays, some places where you go to a play. If you're not there when it's time to start, you're not going in because you're going to disturb people when you do that, if you do that. He said, I know you not. Watch therefore, for you know neither the day nor the hour wherein the Son of Man comes. And that's a lesson that Jesus wanted us to understand too. Be prepared. Always be prepared. Okay. It may be a little thing to keep our lamps trimmed and serviced each day, but it will be rewarding in the day of reckoning before the great judge of all the earth. Little gains. The Jews look forward to their promised land, but their occupying it depended on their day-to-day progress and the ability of the land to supply them. Besides, there were the enemies. Although God would drive them out eventually, He said, I will not drive them out from before thee in 1 year. So He said, it's going to be at least a year before that happens. At least a year. Lest the land become desolate and the beasts of the field multiply against thee. But little by little I will drive them out from before thee until thou be increased, till you have enough people to drive them out and inherit the land. The land will be yours again. These little by little gains would also make Israel aware that God was doing the conquering and not Israel. He did not want these people to think that what's happened here and what's happened before several times was due to them and their effort instead of God and His effort. He warned them not to make any covenants with the enemy and not to let the enemy dwell in the land. Going to give you the land, but they got to go. Can't leave them there because they'll end up dragging you guys down if you leave them there. Lest they make thee now. This one is I think there's something missing here, but I never figured out what it was. Did any of you guys sin a snare? Should be sin and be a snare. I think would complete it properly. That's Exodus 23:32-33. Like Israel's gains, so are ours, little by little. A little leaven. In Matthew 16, Jesus warned His disciples against the leaven of the Pharisees and the Sadducees. That's the leaven is the teachings or what the Pharisees and Sadducees say. It's well documented. They say the right thing, but they don't do it. But they did not immediately understand. When He further explained, they then understood that He meant the doctrine or their teachings of these Jewish sects. Verse 12. Doctrine means teaching, and teaching is an influence. In 1 Corinthians 5, Paul warned the Corinthians against being influenced by a man in the church whose bad influence was like leaven. And in verse 6, he showed that such an influence can affect even the whole church if it is not exposed and condemned. Here's what he said. Your glorifying is not good. Word we might use there, place of glorifying, boasting. They thought they were pretty good people. Just ask them, they tell you. So their boasting is not good. Know you not that a little leaven leaveneth the whole lump? So there, leaven is yeast. I think most people would agree with that. So when you make a ball of dough, you're going to make a loaf of bread. So you got to knead it and mix it in, and put a little leaven. You don't put a whole half a pound, right? You just put a little bit in there to make it, and that'll give it what it needs to rise up. And a little leaven You're glorifying. Okay, got that one. Know ye not that a little leaven leaveneth? So a little yeast puffs up. I saw one version had the words puffed up there in place of leaveneth. Makes it poof, go poof when you bake it. Galatians 5:9, we read the same warning directed against those who were trying to bind the ordinance of circumcision upon some of God's people. Every Christian should think of himself as a leavening influence for good by being the salt of the earth and the light of the world. Matthew 5, 13 and 14. We are to be an example. We are to be the salt of the earth, the light of the world. A little member. Each of us has a little member. This little member, what is it? A tongue. James writes about that, quite a bit about it, more than everybody else probably. And it can really get us into trouble when it goes without being restrained. From James 3, 5 through 10, tell us some things the tongue is and some things it does. So let's look at that one. And verses 5 through 10. So this is James 3, 5 through 10. Behold, we put bits in horses' mouths that they may obey us, and we turn about their whole body. Because that bit in their mouth, when you pull one side, it's going to go that way. He gets some message that that's the way we want to go. Or if you pull the other way, you go to the right. Pull one way, you go to the left. That's how we control them. Verse 4. Behold also ships, which though they be so great, large ships, are driven of fierce winds, strong winds. Yet they are turned about with a very small helm or rudder, wherever the governor lists, the pilot desires it to go. Small rudder versus the size of a ship. Very small, but it makes it do things. You can control the rudder, you can control the ship. So 5, about the tongue. Even so, the tongue is a little member, a little part, body part, and boasts great things. Behold, how great a fine a matter a little fire kindles. And the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. Sin is another word for that. So is the tongue among our members, that it defiles the whole body and sets on fire the course of nature and is set on fire of hell. Verse 7, for every kind of beast and of birds and serpents and things of the sea is tamed and has been tamed of mankind. Man has been able to tame pretty much everything, every animal, pretty much. But, verse 8, the tongue can no man tame. You have a hard time keeping that tongue doing what it should be doing, which is not saying anything frequently. But the tongue can no man tame. It is an unruly evil, full of deadly poison. I'm going to go through 10. Therewith bless we God, even the Father, and therewith curse we men, which are made after the similitude of God, or the likeness of God. Out of the same mouth proceeds blessings and cursings. My brethren, these things ought not to be so. The tongue. Keep it on the good side. Do the right thing. Say the right thing. If you can't do that, don't say anything. Keep it quiet. Don't let the tongue get you in trouble. Little but wise. The writer of Proverbs mentions 4 little things which are exceedingly wise in Proverbs 30, 24 through 28. Tell what each is. Why each is wise. The ants. They prepare their, King James uses the word meat or food. When? In the summer, good weather. So they can make it through a winter of harsh, bad weather. That's quite a bit. quite a bit of smarts that hand, that little hand has in it to do that. As we have human beings that aren't smart enough to figure that out. Work when you can get work and do it. Do a good job. The conies, now that's a King James word. I think there's different definitions of this, but I think the one I saw more than any other, badgers, so that type of animal. They make their homes where? In the rocks. Well, they look for holes that are already there, or they work to make a hole that's not there. But they say they dangerous to be there, dangerous to climb on, hide in there. And then see the locust, grasshoppers, version of it. They go forth all the time by bands or waves like an army. I don't know. I never have observed that, but I'm sure it's true. You saw a swarm of locusts, you would see them going forward. The thing that come to my mind when I read that's the geese. You know the way geese fly? You got one in front, and they all taper back. It's amazing. They know to fly in that pattern. And spider, the top of the next page, and we'll stop when we get through this one, takes hold with its hands and sneaks into king's palaces. You never what? Okay. Okay. And was, one of the versions had a different word than spider, though. Lizard. I think it was a lizard. But the point is that they can get into wherever you think they can't get into. You can do what you need to do to try to stop it. They'll be back. They'll come back. Okay, so we'll stop. That's the place to stop right there. And I'm sure we'll... So that doesn't leave us much to go through, does it? Two pages. So, see me after class for the new book, and I'll give you the new book tonight, okay? And I'll make sure you get it tonight. If you don't get it tonight, you get it Sunday for sure, because we'll start it, that next book, next Wednesday night, Lord willing. Thanks to everybody.
Yeah, one for you. What? We'll sing 528 before the invitation. 528.
Living below in this old sinful world, seeking a comfort for my soul, striving along to face temptation's door. Where could I go but to the Lord? Where
Good evening. You know, I wondered what I could talk about tonight. And as I was talking to James Shaw on the phone, I said, I guess I better put something together. Yes, Jerry and I, we switched. He was going to do tonight, and I was going to do the 17th because of all the things that's going on in the family right now. But then when he called and said he was hurt, I said, uh-oh, I got to do something. So I started looking around the room where I was sitting. And I saw a box of lights, and it said LED on them. I said, how could I use that in Wednesday night's talk? And I got to thinking about it and thinking about it. A few minutes went by, and I said, I don't think that's going to work out too well. So I said, you better keep looking. So I kept scanning around the room, and I saw a box from Home Depot. It said, hassle-free returns. Free at all the any Home Depot store. I told James, I said, that's it. That's the one. Hassle-free returns. You see, we are a product of God. Because it says in Genesis chapter 1, verse 27, so God created man in his own image, and in the image of God created him. Male and female created them. God has put us here to love one another and to praise, honor, and glorify his name and keep his commandments. We know God loves us. Because in John chapter 3:16 it says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. But he went further in verse 17 and 18. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He believeth on him is not condemned. But he believeth not is condemned already, because he have not believed in the name of the only begotten Son. Can anybody relate to that, not believing in Jesus Christ? Usually on Wednesday night, I look around. We call this the rock, because you're here on Sunday morning and Wednesday night. But can you imagine someone not believing that there is Jesus Christ, the Son of God? God wants us to believe he is God. And he wants us to believe in the Son, Jesus Christ. And this is why he made a hassle-free return to him. Because we find in Romans chapter 5, 8 through 10, but God commended his love towards us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more than being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. For if, when we were enemies, we were reconciled with God, and by the death of his Son, and much more being reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. As ever, being a parent, have you ever put yourself in harm's way of your child, trying to protect that child? I can remember one story. We were at a party store, and a man came in with a shotgun. When he came in, he pointed at the clerk, but at the same time, Tammy was standing right there. Out of instinct, I moved her out the way and literally grabbed the gun. I pushed it over from my face, but when I got Tammy around, I took my hand down, and the gun was right at me. I wondered then, would I see another day? I wondered then, would I see another day? But I want you to think about it yourselves. If your child was in harm's way, what would you do? God didn't think twice. God didn't think twice. He said, I'm going to make a way for you and I to survive on this earth and have everlasting life with him. In 1 John chapter 2, verses 1 and 2, My little children, these things write I unto you, that ye sin not. And if any man sin, we have an advocate with our Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous. And he is the atoning for our sins, and not for ours only, but also the sins of the whole world. These verses remind us that we are still capable of sinning, even as believers. For all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God, Romans 3:23. However, while we must always be on guard to repent for our sins, John assures us that Jesus remains the righteous advocate who stands in our every true believer before our Heavenly Father. By our faith in the Son of God, our debts of sin are fully paid. So how can I get this hassle-free return to Christ and the washing of the blood? I must hear, I must believe, I must repent, confess, and be baptized. You see, I'm glad God knew man's sinful ways, even after baptism. God gave each man a free will of his life. Anybody disagree with that? No. Because every man can think on his own. Every man can think on his own. You wonder sometimes why God allowed that. Because didn't he have the power just to say, you will be obedient to me? Yes, he did. But God wants us to return to him. The Bible is filled with stories of people that were sinners, that have turned their backs on or ignored the God who created them. This isn't what God wants. He desires to be in a relationship with us and desperately wants people to turn back to him. You've heard the word, and I ask the question tonight. Are you in need? If so, I ask you to come as together we stand and sing.
I can hear my Savior calling. I can hear my Savior calling. I can hear my Savior calling. Take our cross and follow me. I'll go with him through the darkness. I'll go with him through the darkness. I'll go with him through the darkness. Thank you.